It's Life and Taxes with Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins with us this afternoon here on Viewpoints on the Talk Station. And Andrew, as we start the program, we haven't spoken much, we haven't spoken at all until today for the new year. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Lockwood.
And what is the topic for today?
Yeah, so we made it through 2022 on to 2023. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were monitoring some legislation at the end of the lame duck session of Congress.
Right.
So we were interested to see if anything was going to get passed during that lame duck session.
Right.
And lo and behold, $1.7 trillion of additional spending to keep the government up and running, mm-hmm. along with some other programs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things we were monitoring, Lockwood, was whether or not the enhanced child tax credit was going to be included in any type of this legislation. We talked about it, how it was possible that the, and by enhanced child tax credit, I mean what happened last year.
Right.
And last year was, we went from a credit of $2,000 all the way up to a credit of $3,600 for children six and under. And then we went up to a credit of $3,000 for children that are over six up to 18 years mm-hmm. old. And bear in mind, a credit is a dollar-for-dollar reduction in tax, and this was a refundable credit, meaning that even if you didn't owe tax, you could still get this credit put into your bank account as cash money.
The money went into the bank account.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Unless, I mean, even what they did last year was for half the year, they prepaid that credit to individuals. So it was up in the air about whether or not the child tax credit legislation would be included. And the other side was if that gets included, then likely we're going to get some expensing of R&D, which was being phased out. So we were trying to see if either of those would get put into this legislation that got passed at the end of the year. And the answer is neither one of those made the cut. So as we sit here today, if you're out there and you have little ones such as myself, realize that we're back to the old child tax credit laws, which is the $2,000. It doesn't matter how old the child is. That is the credit that you're looking at receiving for children.
And that is basically a deduction on your taxes, right?
Yeah, dollar for dollar, like I said, reduction in tax owed. So it's still a very big benefit.
But there's no money coming into the checking account.
No money. Yeah. So it's not the enhanced child tax credit that we had the year before. You're not going to have any money being deposited by the United States Treasury. This will need to be taken on your tax return. When you file it, you will claim your children, and the credit will be calculated based upon their phase outs, based upon your income level. But the bottom line is we're back to the old child tax credit, which was under the Tax Cut and Jobs Act under the Trump administration. You may remember when we had the enhanced standard deduction, we did away with personal exemptions, and therefore the credit is really how you get the benefit of claiming your children on your taxes at this point in time.
All right.
So just be mindful of that, all of our listeners out there, that you're back to that old level. And then for those businesses out there that are used to maybe expensing items, probably want to talk to your CPA and find out, what am I allowed now to buy and expense 100%, because there's going to be a reduction in that. Now, it does phase out over time, so you'll still be able to expense a lot of it, but maybe not 100% like we were used to in the past. So just bear in mind those limits there. What was included? Here we go. Secure 2.0. So the setting up every American for retirement. It was the idea behind this one. You might recall the last Secure Act, when it got passed, it was raising required minimum distribution ages
to 71 and a half.
Yep, 71 and a half. So we've changed that. So we'll get into that. Allowing some catch up contributions to retirement accounts. As along with some other things. So this is Secure 2.0. It's now the law of the land. I think President Biden signed it in St. Croix, which is an interesting had to fly the 4,000 pages over to him.
Exactly.
Which is just an interesting thing.
You know, it's interesting. We have, because electronic signatures, but they had to have, and I don't know Who did he give the pens to? As he
was there you go, Logwood. Good question. So anyways, I thought that was a kind of a, because it had to be signed in before the end of the year. Otherwise, that would have been a veto, and the legislation would not have become law. So they got it over to him. He signed it. It's the law of the land. So changes to RMDs. You mentioned 71 and a half. We're up to now 73.
Really?
Yeah. So we're at 73. This begins January 1, 2023. So your RMDs, if you're going to turn 72 this year, because if you turn, this is the interesting thing. So when they pass this legislation, so if you turned 72 last year and you took your RMD, you're still stuck this year. You got to take it again.
Okay.
But if you do turn 72 this year, then you'll be able to take your RMD starting in 73 if you so desire. The other thing is that in 2033, so 10 years from now, the RMDs start at 75. So we are increasing the age at which you must pull money out of your retirement accounts. There's a concerted effort, and you know the thing here we see, Lockwood, the policy behind it is obviously we have aging Americans who are living longer, and therefore you know we're wanting to not force you to take your retirement money because you may need it for those later years.
Okay,
that's the idea behind it.
Okay, I'm going to go to a question on that related to Social Security. And by the way, I want to remind folks we're talking with Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins. And by the way, that phone number 252 area code 726-9050, 726-9050, Harvell and Collins. And Andrew Foster, of course, in the area of taxes and tax
planning
and estate planning. The question we've got with required minimum distribution, that's for your IRAs and all of your investments that you've put away for retirement. But what about Social Security? Social Security still, you still have to apply for Social Security at 70 or 70 and a half, whatever it is?
Yeah, so the same rules still apply. They haven't changed Social Security laws under this plan. This really just deals with retirement accounts, 401ks, 403bs, traditional IRA accounts, and there's Roth IRAs included in this as well, this legislation. So this is where we're focused in on these type of accounts.
All right. I just was surprised, because in reality, Social Security is a form of retirement packaging.
Yeah.
But you have to declare for your, you have to take your Social Security payments starting at, was it 70 and a half, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think there's is there some discussion about extending that to a later
we'll
date?
See.
Well,
you know, this is the third rail, Lockwood.
Oh, so. Yes. Nobody wants to touch it. Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes relative to divided government here in 2023. The penalty for failure to take your RMD, Lockwood, it was high. It was 50% of that RMD. If you failed to take it, then 50% of that IRA, that RMD that was required, was a penalty that you had to pay to the United States government.
Let me just put that in numbers that I understand.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to take out $10,000 this year.
Yeah.
I failed to do that.
Yes.
I have two questions. What's the time frame in which that has to be done? Does it have to be done in the calendar year?
You actually have until the filing deadline. So so you've got until the date of taxes when it's due. So you do have a little bit of a grace period there to make sure you get that RMD taken care of.
I did not take my $10,000.
Yep.
My penalty is I lose $5,000.
That's correct.
You've got to put it in numbers. You know, it's one thing to say 50%. Another thing is when you say, okay, you were going to get $20,000. Guess what? You're only getting $10,000.
That's
because
right.
You're giving another $10,000 back to the government.
Back to the government. Now, the good news is that 50% is being reduced to 25%. So you're under your hypothetical of $10,000, rather than the penalty being five, it's going to be $2,500. But still, stiff penalty there at 25%.
Okay.
The other thing I'll say is that if you can cure your RMD defect in a timely manner, then you can reduce that penalty down to 10%. So they've really are saying here, we understand that people make mistakes, especially probably in the first year that you have your required minimum distribution. And by the way, when you're changing ages the way this is happening, you know, I mean, people get confused. So I think what they're acknowledging here is, hey, look, we want there to be a penalty because you got to take it. It's required. So we got to figure out what the penalty is. But should we really charge people 50% of their required distribution? That seems hefty, you know. So they're acknowledging that under this legislation and taking that down to a more reasonable level.
Okay.
All right. Maybe not zero, obviously, but a more reasonable level.
For those of you who have investment accounts, it pays to pay attention to this. That's the reason why we talk with Andrew, and again, Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins. You said something, you can cure it. How do you cure it?
Yeah, so you actually go and you take the required minimum distribution. You know, let's say you made a mistake. Let's say, okay, hey, I forgot to do it, and here it is. It's the middle of the year, and you go ahead and take it. You know, then you're making sure that's done, and you go and amend your tax return and say, hey, I took it, you know, within a reasonable period of time. Therefore, I'm asking for relief. That's how you would take that cure that required minimum distribution problem. Some catch up contributions. So starting in 2025, individuals 60 through 63 will be able to make catch up contributions to an IRA, $10,000 annually, indexed for inflation. So this is in addition to what the current levels are.
Okay, because its current level is what, 2,500? I thought something of that nature.
6,000. Six thousand is so you'll be able to catch up by an additional $10,000.
Additional $10,000.
And remember, 2025, not this year. So just pump the brakes on it right now, thinking that. But there is a catch up contribution that can be done there. The other big things I wanted to hit. So we have been talking about taking required minimum distributions, and rather than taking them as income, giving them to the charity.
Donating them.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is an interesting provision that they've added here, and one I wanted to really highlight for our listeners. So beginning this year, if you're 70 and a half or older, you can elect as a one-time gift up to $50,000 to go to what's called a charitable remainder trust. Mm-hmm. And that charitable remainder trust, the way it works, Lockwood, is that the money goes into the trust. It is then irrevocable going to that charity, but the individual that gives it can take an income stream off of that money for a period of time. So basically, under this hypothetical, $50,000 would go into a trust. We know you have forfeited that money. It is going to a charity, all right? You are then able to take an income stream off of that money for a set period of time. And right now, you know, interest rates are pretty high, so a normal interest rate might be fairly lucrative. Pull income off of that required minimum distribution did not have to be put in income because it's in the charitable remainder trust under the rules relative to giving those money to charity. So this is very intriguing, especially for our higher income or high retirement account listeners out there. If you have that and you're like, hey, man, that sounds pretty good. I get to take $50,000
off my taxes
and put it into a charitable remainder trust and
pull 4% per year for how many years?
It depends. You know, you can set them up various different ways, but I mean, this is a
wow.
Yeah, this is a pretty big one. So I really wanted to highlight that.
This starts in 2023
now. So if you're sitting out there, you're over age 70 and a half, and you're thinking, hey, I've got these large retirement accounts. I'm going to have to start taking required minimum distributions. You know, I'm charitable in nature. You know, I want to save on my taxes. What's a way that can be done? You know, this would be a ticket for you because you're able to do one time $50,000 into this trust that we can set up for you at Harvell and Collins. And, you know, pull some money off of it while getting the benefit of it.
I understand it. It's just, wow. Why they did that, which God bless you for doing that, but I guess really they're concerned about making contributions because of the economy. Maybe they're concerned that there too much money is being drawn out of the money stream, and this is a way to incentivize us to make contributions, donations, and at the same time, well, incentivize it because now we're able to take and put it into an interest-bearing account and collect money from that interest-bearing account for a period of time.
Yes, that's right.
It's kind of circuitous, but I'll acknowledge it. All right, anything else?
Yeah, one of the other big ones is that people that have 529 plans out there.
For schools.
For education savings. You know, you've put money, a lot of grandparents do it for grandkids or parents do it for their kids. You set up a 529 plan. And let's say that all that money doesn't get used for the education.
Right.
All right. What do we do with it? Well, mm-hmm. if you pull it out, you know, you're going to end up having to pay the penalty relative to that, you know, because it's not then used for qualified education expenses.
Right.
Well, now there's a limit of $35,000 can be transferred to a Roth IRA for the benefit of that individual. So that is a really, really good boon, because there's a lot of people out there who maybe have money left over in their 529s and are like, what can I do with it without having to pay the penalty? Well, here you go. Here's an answer for you, which is you're now able to roll that money over to a Roth IRA, which a Roth IRA is after-tax money, right. and the earnings grow tax-free from that point moving forward. I mean, you're setting up an individual. Number one, you're setting them up for their education, and then whatever money's left over, you're setting them up for retirement. So this is a really good nugget that's in this Secure 2.0 that you can use that education money for the benefit of retirement at the end of the day. So again, Lockwood, I think the idea here is, through the policy behind the legislation, we're raising up the ages for RMDs, and then we're looking for interesting ways to be able to take money out of IRAs and not have to pay the piper, so to speak. So a lot of good nuggets here. If you have any questions, obviously, Harvell and Collins.
Absolutely.
252-726-9050, afoster@harvellandcollins.com.
afoster@harvellandcollins.com. And by the way, go to that website, Harvell and Collins. Spell out the word and, A-N-D, harvellandcollins.com. And Andrew, this is a happy new year. Thanks very much for your time.